Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the literary world. My guest today is author and life coach, W. Granville Brown. Granville, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much for having me again.
Maybe we could start with a little background for our readers. Who is W. Granville Brown?
It's funny. Every time someone asks me that question, it shuts me down because it's like, okay, who am I? there's so many facets, you know. So I guess who I am is I'm a married man with three grown children living in Mississauga, Ontario, and I must give a shout out to my beta fish, Lex Luthor. And also as you stated, I'm a professional certified life coach and public speaker, as well as an author.
Okay, another question. What is a life coach? Can you give me a sketch of what that really is?
Yeah, well, first of all, life coaching is not therapy. So I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. What a life coach basically is, in a nutshell, is someone that helps people or group or individuals go from where they are to where they want to be. It's no different than Tiger Woods having a swing coach. He helps him with his swing. Michael Jordan having a basketball coach that helps him with the fundamentals of basketball. A life coach helps people with the fundamentals of life, dealing with paradigms, mindsets, and behavioral patterns that can keep us stagnant at some point in time.
And how long have you been a life coach?
According to some people, I've been doing it since I was a kid, but professionally I've been doing it for 15 years.
Wow. Is there a professional organization, or how does one become a life coach?
Well, there are different organizations. I went through the Fowler Wainwright Institute of International Coaching for my certification, and I'm also a member of the International Association of Coaches. I believe that being certified in some way through a renowned, respected organization is important, because there are different things that a person should be aware of when they're doing life coaching, and ethics is very important, because with all of my clients, they know, and it's laid out there, that everything is confidential and held in the strictest of confidence. So when they are in sessions with me, there's no fear that I'm running around telling their story to everyone else and spreading their business abroad.
Yes, I would think that would probably hurt referral business.
I would say so. You know, plus you have to be careful as a life coach not to get into the therapy side of things. So this isn't meant to replace therapy in no way, shape, or form. I'm a believer in a person getting help any way that they can, because life is such a beautiful thing, and it's the only one that we have, unless somebody gets a postcard from heaven or below that tells me otherwise.
Right. Okay, I have one of those off-the-wall Simon questions. I'm really good at them. Why do you use Granville rather than the W for William?
That came about. It was a buddy of mine when we served in the Army. We used to, in the Army, everyone is called by their last name or their rank. And after a while, you really begin to detest being called by your last name because it almost dehumanizes you in some way. So him and I, we would call each other by our middle names. And when I told him I was writing my first novel, he said, man, William Brown, man, that's so plain. He said, you know, that's a very plain name. He said, you know what? Why don't you go W. Granville Brown? And I said, nah. And then I kicked it around. And I said, you know what? I think I will do that. Then I can also get away from the ever-presence of when you say, what's your name? Oh, William. Do they call you Bill? No, they call me William. Because I hate being called Bill. So that's how that came about.
No, it's a question that I ask authors whenever I see it. And your answer is somewhat different from the norm. The normal answer I get is, well, I needed it to be slightly different because there's already an author called Alan Johnson, so, you know, I went with D. Alan Johnson, just as an example.
Hey, well, there's a billion and one William Browns. It's almost alias like Tom Smith.
Right. And in fact, when I was thinking about asking you that question, I was thinking to myself, I already know the answer. He's going to say, well, there's 8 million William Browns, but hey, there aren't many Granville Browns out there. Tell us a little bit about your newly published book, The 5 Simple Steps.
All right. Well, it's a I consider it more a guide. It's very short, very to the point, easy to read. It's entitled 5 Simple Steps to Choosing Your Path, and it's 5 steps to helping a person make wiser choices in their life. I'm not proclaiming it to be the end all, the be all. I'm also not Columbus having discovered a new land. It's I'm just taking these steps that I've applied in my own life and that I have illustrated to my life coaching clients, and they've had success with these steps. And so I decided to put it into a guide. And I don't want to jump on a question that you may ask, but the question has become, why is it so short? Because it's less than 50 pages. And my reasoning for that is because, in a nutshell, I hit it and quit it. I said what I had to say, and I left it alone. And what I had to say encompassed the less than 50 pages. And sometimes less is more.
I agree with you, and I do want to come back to that. This is not your first foray into the writing world, and it's not your first book on the subject of choices. You released one last year, I think it was, or
yes, well,
maybe.
Actually, it's been a couple of years now.
Really?
Yes, and I'd like to thank you for your participation in the success of Choices. It was my debut novel. From sales-wise, it went on to be a bestseller, and I want to thank you for your review and for interviewing me at that time. It was a great assistance to me, and I so appreciate that with you. And yes, the book was entitled Choices, and this one deals with choices because that tends to be, to me, one of the most important areas, if you will, of our lives that where we may fall short, that we don't pay enough attention to, and that's our choices.
Yeah, I was going to say that you know, choices do seem to be a very key concept to you. You know, Choices, the novel, Five Steps, the how-to guide, they both hone in on the subject of making wise choices.
As I'm dealing in my my own life and as well as my life coaching practice, that tends to be a sticking point with a lot of people. They get into ruts. They become dissatisfied, disenchanted, disenfranchised, if you will. And it generally boils down to the choices that they've made and also their processes for making their choices. And so since that has that, I guess that's just become my rallying cry, if you will. I believe so much in choices because they matter, and they matter because our lives matter.
Where can people find your books? Are they available on Amazon, for example?
Yes, they're available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and they can also order through my website, WGranvilleBrown.com.
And that is all one word, W. Granville Brown.
Yes, it is. It's all one word.
The world of self-help books is a very busy one. I could not even make a guesstimate as to how many are in print at any given time. You know, if you go to your local bricks and mortar store, there's just shelf after shelf of them. And you've broken the mold. You've not followed the golden rule of 250 pages of endless lists and cutesy acronyms. I mean, you tend to be blackballed by the Self-Help Authors Union.
Well, the reason for that is when I initially started writing the book, it was going to be a book. It was well over 200-something pages. Before I sent it to my editor, I read it, and I noticed that I repeated myself and that I was becoming preachy, and the end, I bored myself. So I was very into writing it, but then I had to step back for a moment, and I said, well, are you trying to help someone or are you trying to bore them to tears? And so I cut it back before I sent it to my editor. When I sent it to her, I said, you know what? You might come back and tell me, give you more, but I'm going to stand on this, and this is all I want. And she, after she did her part, she came back. She said, you know what? I love it. It's to the point. It makes sense. It's not a lot of dribble. It's not a lot of drab. You get to the point, you make your point, you illustrate your point, you solidify your point. That's really good. Because in my own experience, I'm an avid reader. I have read other books, and not knocking anyone, but after the first five chapters, it becomes repetitive in some ways. And sometimes there's nothing new, or by the end of the book, there's so much to attempt to digest and to apply. I really would want someone to read this book 5 Simple Steps to Choosing Your Path, and it has a power and an impact that has a positive effect on them. And it has transformational power that they can actually take these steps, as simplistic as they are, as known as they are, and apply them. And with just applying them, be able to determine for themselves if these steps work.
Right. I don't know how many, quote, self-help books I've reviewed in my career, but it, you know, certainly it's more than the fingers and toes that I have. And quite often I chuckle. In fact, I was talking to my wife not very long ago, and I said, you know, there's an app for that. You know, the ad you see on TV for the smartphones, you know, you want to do this, there's an app for that. You want to write a self-help book, there's an app for that. You know, all you've got to do is plug in your own cutesy acronyms, we'll randomize the chapters, and voila, you now have a 250-page book. Many of these books just cover the same old ground. You know, they change a few names to protect the innocent, but I mean, they are all essentially the same. I mean, you get in and you get out. I like the idea that you take a concept, you keep it simple, it's easy to digest. You're not asking someone, you know, to learn a million things. You've got 5 ideas, and try them, apply them. If you don't like them, walk away. If you do like them, use them. Obviously, that's a gross oversimplification, but that's pretty much the way I view the book.
I have to agree with you. I mean, it really, I love the KISS method. You know, just keep it simple, sweetheart. I love that method in my own life. I try to apply it all the time. I really don't like complication, and I found that most things really are simple. Sometimes it boils down to, do I, don't I? And it's really that simple. You know, it's the emotions and it's all the psychological things that we bring to the table that tends to cloud the issue. But with following any self-help book, because there are some great ones out there, it's all really about the application of the word. If you don't apply the principles within, then of course you're not going to get anything out of it. It's the same as if you read this little short guide. If you don't apply the steps, then chances are you won't get anything out of it. Now, what I've done with this guide, I do use analogies. I use third-party stories to illustrate the steps and how it's applicable with an everyday person's life and the consequences and just how they deal with things. And I think that also helps make the guide a more simplistic read, and it's something that someone can read and say, oh, okay, I've encountered that in my own life, or I know someone else that has encountered that. And they can get something from it, because we already may be doing each one of these steps at some point in time, but maybe not as a group. You know, where I say, think about it. Think it out. Maybe there are some times that you do think it out, and there are some times that you don't. Deal with the consequences of ownership of your choices. Maybe sometimes we do, maybe sometimes we don't. But by putting these five simple steps in an order with a pattern that someone can apply, it's just like having putting in a GPS. You know where you want to go. You put in the address. You head in that destination. And eventually, you know, if your GPS doesn't drive you into a swamp, you'll get there. You know, so with these steps, you apply them to your choices, you can get there. I truly believe that. My clients that I've dealt with these steps, they believe that. Even some of them were kind enough to give me a testimony for the book that was placed on the book, and I think they work. I believe they work, and not to sound egotistical, I know they work. And I think if they're applied and it's simple and anyone can do it, it's not a secret. It's not thinking your way to a better you. It's not new age mumbo jumbo. It's very simplistic. It's just straight at you. Here it is. Make it happen. See the results.
In some ways, I think five simple steps is somewhat deceptive. And I don't mean that in a bad way. What I mean is that if people learn the art of making choices, that naturally broaches many, many other areas where people can grow themselves.
Absolutely. But you have to start somewhere.
Right. I think the art of making choices is a good one.
You have to have a starting point, and that's where more pages would have come into. I did have a reader who told me, he said, "Oh, man, I was expecting more. You know, you didn't do this, you didn't do that." And I said, those are all very good points. There's a reason why I didn't do that, but thank you very much for my next guide.
I'm guessing that you're using this book as a tool in your workshops. It would seem the ideal tool because it is short. Am I correct?
Yes, you are, because I also do public speaking. So in public speaking, you have what is called the back-of-the-room material. So these books are sold through the back-of-the-room material, and I give them to my life, you know, my life coach clients, and, you know, I've gifted them to various charitable organizations and things of that nature. So that was really the principal reasoning behind the book, as well as the fact that from my first novel, I was asked to speak about choices that people were making in the news and things of that nature, and I wrote an article for an online publication, and I put in there about making wiser choices and the steps. And so I said, you know, there's a book in there. So I wrote it, broke it down to a guide. It's out and it's actually doing very, very well, which I'm very pleased, honored, and blessed to say.
That's great. You mentioned something a little bit earlier, which kind of stepped on one of my questions, but that's why I don't run with a script. I was going to ask you, you know, what sort of reader feedback were you getting, and had anyone said to you, "Well, okay, but this book's way too short"?
Well, yes, I had a friend of mine who told me he didn't like it. He said that it didn't make sense to him and that there wasn't five steps, there was only two. And I said, okay. I said, well, let me read it again. Maybe I missed something, or you read it, or maybe you missed something. And could I appreciate any type of feedback? But generally, the response that I received from the book has been very encouraging, very overwhelming. People have told me that they read it, they liked it, they've gotten something from it, that they are attempting to look differently at their choices and to apply these steps. And also, I would be remiss if I didn't make this statement. One of the issues that people were talking to me about also is being bogged down with the meaning of decision or choice and the difference between the two, because sometimes we use those two words very much interchangeably. And I start the book off after the introduction and give an example of the difference between decision and choice. And I think that is very key to know the difference and how they operate in our lives. And one of the examples that I use is if you decide, you make a decision to have dessert, and you decide on where you're going to go for the dessert. Now, you have chosen to have ice cream because there are different types of dessert. You go to Baskin-Robbins. You've already decided that you want a dessert. You've already chosen to have ice cream as your dessert. Now you get into Baskin-Robbins, and now you must choose between the one or two or three of the 32 flavors or more that they have. Because a decision is about purpose and direction, and a choice is making a selection of multiple alternatives. And once we fully understand the difference between making a decision and the difference between making a choice, we cannot get bogged down and so captive to being stymied, if you will, by the differences, and we can have a good decision-making processes and also good processes for making choices.
I have a trick question for you, and possibly it's an unfair one, but yeah, that doesn't usually stop me. I was watching CNN this morning, and the latest economic figures are in, and they're quite frankly awful. There are many people suffering. There's a lack of jobs. There's a lack of opportunity. Is that a theme that you hear from people that you work with? And what do you tell them? You know, can people make choices that will improve their lot in life, if you will?
Absolutely. I think history of mankind shows us that during some of the worst economic times in our history, there have been those who have risen above it. And they've risen above through different means, but a lot of it has to do with the choices that they make. People right now are dealing with, you know, the uncertainty of the job market. And some people are very, very displeased with their current state, their jobs, their economic situation, you know, and they're just unhappy. And all this other stuff.
By the way, someone just made a choice. The final space shuttle flight has lifted off. Happened 5 seconds ago.
Fantastic.
It's a historic moment, a sad moment. Sorry, that had nothing to do with our discussion.
No, that's I was watching that earlier.
Yeah, they are headed for orbit. Granville, what is next for you? Do you have another book floating around?
Well, yes, I have to do the sequel to the first novel because I purposely left things open there for the sequel, and I'm currently working on that, the sequel to the first novel, Choices. And don't have a timeline for it as of yet, the completion, but I know my editor is going to be pushing me for a deadline sometime soon. So that is the plan, because I have many people that have, they're saying, hey, where's the sequel? Where's the sequel? Want to know what happened with Trey? Want to know what's going on with Andrea? So that I have to do that. So that is next for me to finish that and get that out there into the hands of the three people that want it.
I think you're telling fibs, as us Brits would say.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm sure that that there's many people that would love to, read the sequel to Choices. And with that, our time is up. Granville, I really want to thank you for taking time out this morning to talk with us. And I do wish you every success with 5 Simple Steps to Choosing Your Path. And I do hope that you'll keep in touch. And when the Choices 2.0 comes out, you'll let me know.
I certainly will. Simon, thank you so much for having me. And I thank you for your support, and even any of your listeners that have purchased my books or went to my website, I thank you so much for that. It is truly a blessing, and you be good, take care of yourself, and good luck with your current endeavors and all that you do in the future.
Okay, we will talk again. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett, wishing everyone a happy and healthy day. Till next time, goodbye.